At Founders Brewing Company, we set out to create a beer that lets you embrace the unconventional. Mortal Bloom is a radiantly beautiful, hazy IPA that will wrap your taste buds with intense citrus and tropical notes of pineapple and mango. Coming in at 6.2% ABV with big aromatics and no bitterness, it's the perfect beer, if we do say so ourselves. Visit foundersbrewing.com to find Mortal Bloom Hazy IPA.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth. And I would like to let everybody know that Alexis has spilt two beers in the last 5 minutes, one of them all over my computer.
I'm sober. I have no excuse for this, except that I am a butterfinger gal.
You were
the clumsiest, most spastic, frantic, stiff, on-edge person that exists.
Your excuse for it was that I placed the beer on the table so you didn't know where it was.
Right.
So that was
no spatial awareness.
That was the first knockover.
Yes, yes.
Fair.
Alexis will do that. Alexis will do that.
What?
Why did you do that? Because
Which
I did this.
Caused me to do this.
Yes.
Yes, of course. But
that's
the second one, I'm not sure what it was. It was a reaction to something that Billy said, I think.
Well, I was on edge from the first spill.
Yeah.
And that will throw anyone into a tizzy,
and
might I say.
Now we just don't know if Alexis needs to buy me a new computer or not. We will report back. It's sitting upside down.
Well,
airing out.
We have a company account we will just charge it to. And
so I'll buy my own computer.
We will split your computer three ways.
Seriously. By the way, we make no money on this podcast.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
We use it on alcohol.
Billy,
food,
that's nobody's business.
And it's Alexis breaking shit.
It's a passion project. It's okay. We need to replace some of our electronics when they get beer filled.
Yeah, that's right. And we have the money for that, and that's what's important.
Okay, well, Billy, let's jump into the dark day.
All right, July 22nd, 1934, John Dillinger is shot outside the Biography Theater, or the Biograph Theater, in Chicago. Now, do you guys know who John Dillinger was?
Is it Dillinger Explosion?
Is that an emo band or something?
It's like a punk band.
Okay, all right, so John Dillinger was considered sort of a folk hero because this is the
all right. Alexis dropped her phone.
Alexis just dropped something, by the way. But this is the.
I didn't take any more today. That's why.
I'm sorry. You didn't take any more Adderall?
That's right.
Okay.
All right. So this is the Great Depression, right?
Kay.
Everybody's upset at the banks. Mm-hmm. You got this guy, Dillinger, with his gang, and he starts robbing the banks. And then the news media is just like, this guy's a hero.
Oh.
This guy's Robin Hood. So we're all about him.
Oh,
so
okay.
He's robbing a ton of banks. And they start.
And everybody is loving it.
No, they start calling him Robin Hood. So.
What's he doing with the money? Is he giving it to the poor?
Fuck no.
He's just keeping it for himself.
He's keeping it for himself, but it doesn't matter. Like
not Robin
24
Hood
banks. Four police stations, and the FBI says, you know what? Hell no. We're going to try and catch him. So on July 21st, there was a madam at a brothel in Gary, Indiana. And
sorry,
she was...
Sorry. The 22nd's my dad's birthday.
Okay. All right.
I just needed to interject.
So, she couldn't help herself.
She was known as the woman in red. And she said that, you know what? I know that this guy is seeing this other woman. They're going to go to a movie at the Biograph Theater, which was showing the crime drama Manhattan Melodrama starring Clark Gable.
Okay.
It was called Manhattan Melodrama.
Yes. So the film ends, and a guy
creative
named,
title,
and a guy named Melvin Purvis, who became a
pervert with that name,
became a huge star.
You know, he had a bad childhood.
He stands by the front door.
Pervert. Oh God!
And he lights a cigar. His guys come in. Dillinger sees it that it's an ambush. He runs into the alley. He's shot four times.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. It's the Dillinger escape plan is the game of, or the band I was thinking of. What's a Dillinger explosion?
I don't know.
But
that's a new band.
Yeah.
Classic mix-up.
All right,
honestly, it could happen.
Wait, so did he have an escape plan from the theater? Where the fuck did that
happen? Dillinger had escaped a bunch of times, but he did not have an escape plan. All right, and here's the thing. So he's dead in the alley.
Okay.
Now, Melvin Purvis had actually found Babyface Nelson, Pretty Boy Floyd, and he found Dillinger. Now, souvenir hunters dipped newspapers in the blood that stained the pavement in handkerchiefs to mop up the blood. And it's all about getting the blood of John Dillinger. So that is what happened today. He was probably one of the most infamous criminals who kind of became, because everybody was so down on their luck, a folk hero. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, he was a piece of shit.
Wow. That was a good day, Billy.
Yeah.
I really liked that.
Yeah.
It was a nice little history lesson.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm suddenly respected and intelligent.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you to that.
Well, when we come back, we got some bitching to do.
Hard bitching.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
All right. Well, welcome to On the Stand. Each week we bring a different topic, person, place, or thing or idea to the stand, either defending it or prosecuting it. And the other two have to vote. And then after that, follow us on social media at The First Degree, because we all have a poll that all of our firsties can vote and see how, I don't know, aligned that we are with the people.
And how the majority feels. I mean, yeah. I think it's very important to know how people feel about pineapple on pizza or socks in bed or washing your legs or whatever trivialities or importances we bring to the stand.
Absolutely. So I'm going to let Alexis go, because right before we recorded this segment, she gave a very ominous sort of idea of how she was going to bring this up. And I just want to see what you have to say.
Okay. Well, I'm going to bring it up, and then I'm going to let Jack weigh in and then Billy weigh in before we even talk.
Okay.
So today on the stand is the Britney Spears conservatorship.
Oh, I mean, I feel like everybody should be on the side of Britney.
Yeah.
Correct?
You would think.
Of the people that are not part of her family.
Sure.
I mean, everybody is on the free Britney side. I think that the more that we hear about what's going on, before, like, nobody really knew anything about it at all. So now, especially after she has made her statement at court, I mean, it's the most traumatizing, tragic situation for somebody to find themselves in. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I feel for her. I heard that, was it Christina Aguilera, Mariah Carey, Pink, and
Miley.
Cher?
No.
And Miley
are getting together to, like, fund something to
help her.
Help her. Which, I mean, I never realized that something could be so, I mean, obviously the judicial system is so fucked up, but this is like it really being shoved down our throats, and it's terrifying.
Well, it's almost as if it happened in plain sight, you know?
Yeah.
It's everyone like knew about it. We've been talking about it for a long time.
Yeah.
And we would see Britney perform, and sorry, Britney, you looked fucked up, but now we know
that she was being forced
by drugs. It's
because
you're fucking drugged to perform. So it's like we all saw it. We all knew something was wrong with it. Even if she was just experimenting with drugs, she shouldn't have been performing like that. And it's like, it has been happening in plain sight.
You have such, it's really interesting looking back at things in retrospect,
yes.
Right? Because as this was happening, I feel like, number one, times were different, you know, especially like when all of that was like happening right before our eyes, when she was performing a lot in the beginning, people looked at her almost like accusatory, right? Mm-hmm. And then now we're looking back at things in retrospect, like with so much like
regret
and guilt, because it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I feel like something that people need to understand about the judicial system as a whole is, like, once you're sucked into a pocket of it, there's no way to get out. And mentally ill people are allowed to do anything they want. They're allowed to raise kids. They're allowed to do anything they want. Yet this one, who can make millions of dollars a day, she's not. And we need to look at that. It's like mentally ill people can raise kids. They can have kids. They can do whatever they want. But because there's so much money at stake, her liberties have been restricted. And I just fucking love Britney Spears. And I feel for her. And I just can't imagine the paralyzing, like, I pay all these dudes' bills and I'm their slave.
Yeah.
The pain of that, you know? And I think, I don't know.
It's interesting. Everybody's slowly coming out and saying stuff about, you know, different experiences that they've had with her, because I'm sure everybody has been terrified to say anything because God knows what her family was or how they were trying to, like, blackmail people or silence people or whatever. But now you're hearing these, like, little tidbits of how it actually was, and every single one of them is scarier and scarier and scarier.
And I just have to say, I'm very scared for Britney Spears. I think her saying, I want to sue my family. I mean, y'all should watch the Black Mirror episode with Miley Cyrus. Like, she's in danger. And I'm scared for her. And I'm scared that she's going to end up dead. And it's like, yeah, well, you know, she's mentally ill. Is she? I don't think so. Like, she's worth so much money. I think everyone needs to be watching this hyper-focused.
Well, and it's interesting because, I mean, so many people have commented about her Instagram and how the Instagram portrays her a certain way. And it's like, now you're looking back on something that somebody else is absolutely controlling. I'm sure she has no say in what goes on Instagram at all. And it's like, wow, this seems very conscious, the type of content that they're putting out there.
Well, they're like, hey, Brittany, answer these three questions. Hey, so sometimes I like to go to the beach, and it's like she's doing a Q&A, and it's like she has to do one every week, and it's like a deadline she's meeting. That being said, I need you all to look at her Maui pictures from September of 2020 and her Maui pictures that she was just allegedly on. They're the same pictures, the same suit, the same seaweed, and the same beach.
Yeah.
There's something really sinister going on, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but, like, she's all but said it herself.
Yeah.
Whew. Guilty, the conservatorship.
Guilty.
I mean, I can't imagine anybody saying it was innocent.
Well, you know, there's something to be said when the most powerful one in the world is controlled by a bunch of white dudes. And, like, it doesn't matter that we all know about it. It hasn't changed anything.
Right.
So, like, yeah, we'll say it till the cows come home. Hopefully it's enough. I doubt that it will be.
Yeah.
Frankly. It's very scary, guys.
Whew. All right. Well, I'm going to go next. On the stand today is men referring to themselves as boys.
Ew.
Now, this has happened a lot on dating apps.
Sure.
Like, back in the day when I'd be swiping around on Tinder or Bumble or whatever, it'd be like a 45-year-old man being like, just like a Midwestern boy in the big city of LA. And I'm like, you're not a boy. You're middle-aged. You might have kids. Like, it's time to stop the bullshit.
Yeah.
And it was funny because when Jared and I started dating, he would refer to himself as a boy quite often.
He's like, I'm just a kind boy. Did I even sound
like
him?
And by the way, Jared is an incredibly kind boy.
He's a kind man.
Kind man. He's a kind man. And it was honestly, it was so much of a turnoff that I'm like, can I date this guy?
You're like,
and
we have to have a talk about this.
We did have a talk. I'm like, I'm making a note. You've got to stop calling yourself a boy. Like, you've got to stop. Every time you do, my vagina just dries right up. Like, we're not going to have sex after that. Like, nothing is going to happen. Like, there is nothing grosser to me. Because then it's like, then you're like prepubescent as a boy. Like, there's a lot of weird things going on
with
the term boy.
Well, a boy has a flaccid penis. That's not an erect.
Well, a boy is not sexual.
By the way.
Oh,
as a former boy, a boy does not have a flaccid penis. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, what age boy are we talking?
I understand what
but
you're
when
saying.
When somebody says boy, I don't think about like a 17-year-old boy. I think about like a
child.
A child.
Yes.
Like, so a man should not be calling himself a boy because it's fucking gross.
That's right.
So anyways, Jared took the note. He's great at taking a note. He took the note and I was like, listen,
yeah,
this is serious.
Man.
And then
man.
He had never called himself a boy after that. So it
way
was
way to go, Jared.
But I'm just putting this out there for any man out there, especially single men. Like, it's not hot to call yourself a boy.
We don't like it.
All right, time out.
What?
You are not a boy, so don't start.
Do you refer to your friends as girls?
Gals trip.
Yeah, girls is
girls
different. It's different than a...
Like, there's no word for it. Women trip. Women's trip.
I think like a guy's or a dude's trip.
Dude's trip.
There's many other words.
Ladies trip.
Yeah. Or like, but girls, I feel like...
Girls trip.
It's a little... It's different.
Different.
It's different. Like, you're not a boy.
Sure.
I mean, honestly, maybe people will think about this differently. But for me, it is a cringy term to refer to yourself as if you are an adult person.
You are not wrong. Billy?
Not guilty.
Guilty?
Of course. Guilty.
Why? Do you want to call yourself a little boy at hockey games?
Did I say little boy?
Little boy.
But I will say...
Teeny boy.
With my boy... You know what? I say, let's go boys at hockey games. And
let's go,
everyone's dick shrinks back to when they
were
boys.
Let's go, boys. There's also like he's my boy.
Me
that's
and the boys.
Different.
It's like, when they be the like, boys. I'm just a boy.
Yeah, if you're like referring, if you're like, I was a good boy today. Fuck no. Like Sahara Desert.
No.
But if you're like, if you're like me and the boys are going to get a drink. Fine.
Fine.
Okay. All right. So it's when referring to yourself.
Oneself.
To your girlfriend, romantic partner. Then
girlfriend.
It becomes the Sahara Desert.
Wait, who's the girlfriend's romantic partner? What does that even mean?
No,
girlfriend slash romantic partner. That's what
I'm
saying.
Yeah, Jack. Yeah, to Jared. Jack. Sure.
Yeah, or one to any woman. And honestly, other women out there might not be grossed out by this. This might just be like a weird Jackism.
I don't like boys. No thanks.
Adult men.
All right.
With your tiny, tiny brains and your tiny little experience, no boys, thank you.
No boys allowed. Okay, Billy says not guilty, which is weird.
I'm not surprised.
I don't know what I expect. Right,
guilty.
All right, boys, I know you're out there. I know 4% of our listeners are...
Boys.
Are boys.
You're alone. You shouldn't do this. Know your audience.
You know what? I can read the room, but you know what? I think some people might need to hear this.
What?
Boys, you're all right.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah. The children of the couples listening to this, they're A-okay. They're in elementary school. Uh-huh. They deserve the encouragement. Adult, if you're having intercourse legally, then you're not a boy.
No, you're not.
Over 18, no boys.
No boys. Okay, guilty. Obviously guilty.
Yes, burn them to the ground, those boys.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Billy, what are you bringing to the stand today?
All right.
Why are you holding your arm like it's broken?
Why is your arm limp?
My arm is fine. Listen to me.
It looks like
Billy
just
has
broke.
Dead arm.
All right. The whole, you know what? We're going to bring the chicken sandwich thing. Chicken sandwiches. What is it about the chicken sandwich? We are all about the chicken
Can
sandwiches.
Can you be more specific?
Yes.
Are you against it?
At what establishment? Which sandwich?
Every
no,
establishment.
No, you can't do every.
Listen. Here's the thing.
But no, you can only bring this if you hate it.
No, that's not true because I asked you guys, by the way, I don't know about being on the stand because it seems negative. And you're just like, you could bring things that are positive. So.
Okay. So he's bringing the chicken sandwich.
I'm bringing the
so
chicken sandwich.
So you like the chicken sandwich.
An American
we
favorite.
We are not talking about that right now. We are talking about what you're putting on the stand right now. And we will see. Now.
Oh,
that's
okay.
not.
No,
how-
listen, he might go somewhere
right,
with this.
Okay.
All right.
Let him talk.
Chick-fil-A comes out with the chicken sandwich.
Uh-huh.
Okay, fine. Right. Uh-huh. And then what happens? Popeyes is like, you know what? We're going to do a chicken sandwich, too.
Apparently, it's better.
But Popeyes chicken always had fried chicken.
Now, but a chicken sandwich is a chicken breast.
Cutlet.
Fried with pickles on a bun. Okay. Then McDonald's is like, you know what? We're going to get in on this, too.
Yeah.
I just had that chicken sandwich last weekend. It was delicious.
I'm Team McDonald's. So
okay.
I don't know
okay,
if you're
so McDonald's makes their chicken sandwich.
Then Burger King is like, you know what?
Sure.
Which
sure.
apparently also
we're
is great.
We're doing this?
I'll try that one later.
Yeah.
All
What's
right.
the problem here?
You know what? It's kind of like, here's the thing. Can't somebody have their own thing?
No.
Well, didn't Popeyes make the chicken sandwich and their whole thing was like, you can get it on Sundays?
I thought their thing was a shrimp
yes.
basket.
But, see,
no,
yeah,
no, no,
yes.
but that's why they made it is because Chick-fil-A and all
was
their problematic
closed
things.
On Sundays.
Yes.
Closed on Sundays.
You can get it if you're not homophobic.
Yeah.
I love that for them.
But and apparently it's delicious. So you're talking about like people jumping on the train for a chicken sandwich.
You know what?
Well, I am confused about what you're putting on the stand exactly. The sandwich itself or the bandwagon?
The bandwagon.
The band.
The bandwagon.
The bandwagon. See, well, the problem, it, no, not the problem. I guess the problem is they're all good.
Who doesn't love a crispy, tendery patty on a delicious buttermilk roll with a pickle? And some sauce.
Here's my.
I always add cheese to it. I mean, no, that is.
This is what I was just gonna say. Can we put on the stand chicken
yes.
sandwiches with cheese?
No cheese.
No, with yes. cheese.
With cheese. Innocent.
Because people, Jared, no. if he was here, he would be so grossed out by cheese on a chicken sandwich.
I agree.
I put cheese on every.
You don't like. Okay, no. New on the stand. This is what we're doing.
Holy
yes. cheese
shit.
On a chicken sandwich.
Take over. And you know what, Alexis? How dare you? That is a chicken that died for you, and it wants you to appreciate it without any weird cheese, okay?
Does
cheese?
It? I think it wanted to be alive, and now that it's not, all bets are off. Might as well merge the death with more death.
Let's really take it a step further and talk about if it's from a fast food restaurant, that chicken didn't have a great life
that chicken
to begin with.
Was is stoked and also not aware of the accoutrements I put with my sandwich. And if I'm going to eat something as shitty as a chicken fucking sandwich, I'm putting cheese and sour cream, whatever the fuck else I want on
sour
it.
Cream. Sour cream.
No, that was just an example.
I love the fact that
I don't want sour cream on it.
By
I wouldn't
the way,
do
by
it,
the way,
but
the way,
I could do it.
This is the first episode after, you know, 3 years that we've realized that Alexis Linkletter is a monster.
Wait, no,
we all
definitely
knew
not
that.
The first episode.
We all knew that.
No, but the cheese on a chicken sandwich is very polarizing. A lot of people don't think it belongs, but I say that cheese is delicious, and I will put it anywhere.
I'm so confused. Yes. Can we take this step further? I'm just more confused about, like, cheese on burgers is okay when we have two hooved animals. I mean, I don't know if people are getting technical about it. I think cheese on chicken is pretty fucking stellar.
Chickens don't have hooves.
Right. And it's more kosher even than putting it on beef. So I'm just sort of like, what are your criticisms, guys? Like, let's just put some cheese on this shit and make it delicious.
I agree. Listen, I also like the Chick-fil-A sandwich from McDonald's. And people are, it's blasphemous to put cheese on fish. So, I mean,
people do that too. What about a tuna melt? People melt cheese
delicious.
On tuna all the time.
Delicious. See, cheese makes everything better.
I get extra cheese on everything.
Same.
Yeah.
Okay. Cheese on chicken sandwich is not guilty.
Not guilty.
Guilty.
Just
in the minority. Surprise, surprise. Mm-hmm.
This will be an interesting poll for all these.
Everyone,
except for Brittany.
People are going to be angry about the cheese and chicken. You guys are all listening, but...
Yeah. Cheesy chicken.
Ooh, we're angry just thinking about it.
All right. Well, when we come back, it's time for some
True Crime
Rewind. Boop.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways. And with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences. And before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and The RealReal makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For The RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
All right, so we're going to talk about True Crime Rewind. And we're going to talk about 911. Alexis, stop attacking me. Now, 911 originally started as 999 in the United Kingdom in 1937. And that's what it is to this day. Now, what's the problem with 999 back then?
Sounds like what Hitler says.
Oh, that's pretty good. But
nine.
Yeah, no.
Isn't that what he says?
No, but yeah.
I mean, it's
yes.
No, but in still. German. No, also, it's just all one button, and you could butt dial it really easily.
Oh, my God. Do you remember what phones were like?
Zero, zeros. Oh, it's super hard to go all the way on like a rotary.
Nine is the last one.
On a rotary
one.
Phone, you had to go nine, and then nine, and then nine.
Wow.
So the U.S. was just like, no, we're going to do 911.
Interesting.
Because the rotary is, the one is a little closer.
Yes,
the
exactly.
Nine is still far. You're still losing valuable
you are,
moments.
You are. It should be
1-1-1.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So in 1968, AT&T chose the number 911. And they were just like, all right, this is our thing right now. Its first implementation was in Huntington, Indiana on March 1st of 1968.
Oh.
And then eventually, you know what? It spread across the country.
What did people do before 911?
Call the operator and ask to be connected.
Yes.
To the police?
Or call the police station.
Wow. Or this yelled outside their window.
Wow. And that went really well for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then it just dispersed throughout. I bet it took a while.
It took the 70s is when it started. Like late 70s.
Wasn't it 60s? Then you just
when it started to be rampant.
Oh,
like where
yeah.
It started to be something people knew about.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because how are you going to really spread the word?
Mm-mm.
I guess other than like...
Not the internet.
On the Dick Van Dyke Show.
That's right.
Do a little advertisement.
All right,
sure.
It would be the Merv Griffin Show, not the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Oh, whatever it was.
Your age is showing, Billy.
I know, but I'm all right with that.
So I teed up a few 911 calls that I want us to like react to because I think that it would be a grand old time.
Ooh,
okay.
Yes.
So we're going to go to the first one.
Sure are.
911, what's your emergency?
Yeah, so I need a cleanup service and a doctor or whatever.
Sir, are you injured?
I think so, but I can't really tell what's left.
What's left of what?
My wife was in the bathroom, so I figured I'd just go in the sink, and I slipped on my own piss and cut my dong in the sink hole. I tried to pull myself up and hit the dang switch and got the disposal turned on.
Wait, what?
I just ground up my own dick.
Are you serious?
I just ground up my own dick.
Oh, my God.
The disposal has disposed my dick all over the walls.
Sir, help is on the way.
Oh, ma'am, it's like a Tasmanian devil, one buck wild on some spaghetti in here.
Sir, if you can unlock your door, the EMT will assist you.
Oh, man, it's like a slip aside from hell. I'm passing out.
Slip inside from hell. Okay.
There are so many quotable moments in this 911 call.
Mm-hmm. He didn't seem distraught enough for what's allegedly
happened.
Seemed
like he was doing potentially a bit.
But I don't, sometimes a lot of these calls, people are on drugs.
Hella drugs.
So
they're like, yeah, my dick's in my hand, way away from my body.
So I don't know if it was one of those. Then I'm also really thinking about, so basically the story is he got his dick into a kitchen sink and put on the garbage disposal.
Sure.
So how long must this penis be to
get
down to the...
How long was it? Because if it's all spaghetti on the walls, I don't think we're still in long dick territory.
Oh.
Yikes.
I really feel for the guy. I really wish there was a follow-up.
Yeah, I want pictures. Anyway, on to the next.
I want pictures.
Sir, 911, what's your emergency?
I have knife hands.
Excuse me?
I looked down and my hands were knives.
Your hands are knives?
Yeah.
Can you put the knives down?
No, they're my hands.
All right, where are you?
I don't want knife hands. I can't pet my cat. I can't high-five anything.
It's okay, sir. Let's work this out.
What am I going to do, be a chef? Just chop, chop, chop my whole life. Nothing but chopping. No, chop that.
How did you call 911?
I called on my phone.
Uh-huh. And how did you dial the number?
With my fingers.
Okay, where are your fingers?
On my hands. Oh, God, they're back. Oh, thank you. Oh, my God, look at them. I love these hands. What's your name? Is it Sharon?
No.
Oh, Sharon, you're an angel.
I am not.
That's what an angel would say. Thank you, Sharon.
You're welcome.
If acid is really messing with me. Oh, boy, now my...
What cut off is he goes, oh, no, now my feet are knives.
Yes.
I have been there.
With acid?
No. The first time I ever tried an edible was at Coachella.
Oh.
And I took an edible weed bar on the last day of Coachella when I was trying to drive back to my hotel.
Wow.
Right?
Bad move.
Yeah. And I was like, guys, my hands are rockets. I was driving. I was like, I need to turn off. And then I thought my hands were balloons. And I was like, my hands are balloons.
Mr.
I'm like,
Balloon Hands.
I was like, hey, no, from the gecko, that thing.
Yeah, Dan Deacon drinking out of cuffs.
After is when I saw that. I feel like
you
I inspired
the original.
That.
No, that was definitely before that.
I asked to go I begged to go to the hospital and everyone said no. And I was like, please, please. I thought I was going to die because I thought my hands were rockets. They felt like they had so much energy in them. You know, like restless leg syndrome. I had like restless hand syndrome. And I was like, I have rocket hands. And then no one would take me to the hospital.
Well, obviously.
So here I sit. It can work out for you.
I also love that he's like, thank you so much. Is your name Sharon?
Yes.
Are you an angel? She's like, I am not.
He goes, is your name Sharon? She goes, no. He's like, thank you so much, Sharon.
Yeah, let's talk about Sharon. She was so good.
She was so good. She's like, how'd you dial your phone?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, how'd you dial your phone?
She got it.
With my finger knives.
My finger. You know, he's like, my finger
knives. Here they are.
The guy was so cute. Like,
honestly,
I want to give him a hug.
He was sincere. He really thought he had hand knives.
And I also love that, like, he's talking about all the things he can't do. He's like, I can't high five.
Yes.
I'm like, it'll just be stabbing my friend in the hand. Like if I try to hug someone, it'll just be a shank in the abdomen.
He just turned into Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah. Honestly,
so lonely.
The little hand that could.
The little hand that could.
Mm.
All right.
On to the next call.
The little hand that killed.
The little hand that killed.
Dun, dun, dun.
What's your emergency?
I did something bad.
Is anyone hurt?
I kissed somebody else. I kissed somebody else. I don't even know him.
Is this an emergency?
Just a minute. Are you on the ground?
Ma'am, can you hear me?
Ma'am,
kiss
somebody.
Oh, no. Why don't you do that, Jester?
Because I'm afraid I'm going to screw up some of the school.
No, you're not a screw up, okay? I screw up all the time.
Ma'am.
God, it hurts, but I forgive you. I love you.
Oh, my God, but I love you.
Jester, will you marry me?
Oh, wow.
Yes, I like you.
Congratulations. Goodbye.
Jasmine, call us.
Call us. You're
wow,
a true firstie.
I feel like you're a listener.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you are me, but like a little behind me.
I honestly am. I'm so monogamous that I feel like if I kissed somebody else, I would also think that it's valid to call 911.
I'd be like, I must be crazy.
Like, I did the worst thing in the world. I kissed somebody else.
Yeah.
I love her.
Now, who said congratulations, goodbye?
She did.
The 911 operator.
Because the angry man was like, will you marry me? I love you, Jasmine. And then she's like, yeah.
And then she threw up.
And I was like, congratulations.
Yeah. I love this love story. I hope that, I mean, I'm assuming that was obviously not a real proposal, but if it was.
No,
seems real.
You know, who knows?
Who knows? I hope that they're happily married.
Yeah.
And again, I feel like these are callers. Like, please let us know what happened.
God, has this happened to you? Yes. Will you send us your 911 calls? Like, do a public information request. Like, send us. I need this from you if you've done this.
I know. These are, like, fantastic.
Solid.
Okay. Should we go to the next one?
On to the next.
On to the next.
We are going to have
a hell of a time.
A hell of a time. And we're going to hear about your worst stories.
Because you're the worst.
Because you guys are awful.
You make awful. You make Billy sick,
yes,
frankly. Mm-hmm. I look at him. He's nauseous and hollow-eyed right now.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold Coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Okay, so I don't know if this counts as like the, okay, it kind of is the worst thing I've ever done because I'm not proud of how I acted, but I also feel like he kind of deserved it. In college, I had this boyfriend, you know, I thought he was like the one, all that dumb shit, but he had a really bad drinking problem. And I gave him an ultimatum, and I was basically like, it's either the booze or me. Like, take your pick. So he told me, you know, I pick you, you know, yada, yada. And he basically lived with me because I lived alone, and he lived in a frat house. So obviously, also mistake number one for myself. But anyway, he was always at my place because he didn't want to be at his house. So the one day, you know, we were supposed to come back and hang out. I find out that he's actually at the bar with some friends. And now, mind you, I wasn't 21 yet. So I get back to my apartment, realize that he had gotten drunk and pre-gamed at my apartment, trashed it. I found, like, fucking salsa and chips on my couch. He peed in my bed. And I was so fucking angry that I, like, marched downtown, demanded. I ran into one of his friends outside of a bar, and I, like, demanded that he go in and get him. He drags him out. I fucking slap him. I'm like, you're a piece of shit. You know, your stuff will be at your house tomorrow. So then that night, a bunch of my friends come over. We put all of his shit in trash bags. And then the next day, I drive to, like, down the road to his frat house, and I dump all of his shit out in the dirt and, like, spread all of it out. You know, his clothes, his stuff, his books. And then I had a key, so I let myself in the house, and I go in his room, and he's passed out drunk. And I was like, hey, wake the fuck up. Here's your key, you asshole. We're done. I throw the key at him. I was like, your stuff's outside. So, and then I leave, turns out, like, I guess somebody, like, stole one of his, like, $200 accounting textbooks, and he was trying to make me pay for it. And I was like, what about my bed that you urinated in? And he was like, I'm talking, like, he was, like, 23 years old. Like, if a 23-year-old man is peeing in your bed, like, it's a red flag. I guess I'm just happy that I finally stood up for myself and was like, I deserve better than this. But I probably could have acted a little nicer. So, and my mom said, she was like, my mom's a police officer, and she was like, you need to watch yourself because you'll get arrested next time. And I'm like, I'd like to see them try. So, I don't know. Hopefully, maybe you can match my energy and see why I reacted like that.
This is the energy that we're looking for.
I think you acted with reason and maturity, frankly. Honestly,
it's not even bad what you did. I honestly am more enthralled with your storytelling.
Honestly, you're fantastic. And, you know, putting salsa on a couch and also urinating in a bed, those are expensive mistakes. And he should have had more respect for you. And you know what? You marched into that club and you call it whoever you want, because that dude should use salsa better.
Yes, the salsa. What?
Nothing.
Yeah, if someone's going to micturate on a...
What is that word you said?
Micturate?
Yes.
What is that word?
Urinate. You know.
Micturate?
Yes.
Why did you use that word instead of urinate when it's the same amount of syllables? Right. It's not like a
shortcut.
How do you
even spell micturate? M-I-C?
But why bother? Just say urinate. No one knows what micturate is.
I've never heard of that word before.
Have you guys never watched The Big Lebowski?
Yeah, a long time ago, but I didn't hyperanalyze every word.
Exactly, because you have no joy in your soul.
Oh, okay.
But so I agree that you can't just throw salsa all around and then be in somebody's bed.
The misuse of salsa is the biggest problem in this entire story.
Really blasphemous.
Like, that, a waste of a salsa, like, that deserves... She didn't even do anything bad. She just threw his shit on the ground.
What if it was queso?
Queso.
Well, queso's sacred.
Also, a queso spilt on a couch, you're never getting that stench out. That will start molding.
Flies will lay larvae on it.
Yeah.
You'll have maggots on that couch in no time
He could have done something worse to you. So I think that your punishment to him was not too bad.
Lady, I want you to stand up for yourself. You did a good thing. He's a dick. And I hope he fixed his issues of waste.
You know what?
And urination.
I love what the worst thing is becoming. It's becoming like a ladies' empowerment to like all of our revenge segment.
Yes, because you know I've also done some crazy shit, but this is not the platform for me.
You know what? I will say this right now, being the one male on the show. Mm-hmm. Have we gotten any male calls?
Not yet.
Well, because our listeners are 95% female.
I understand that, but where are the males?
I mean, hey, Billy, I would love if you would draw more male listenership to this show.
I would
love
that.
It's on you.
Is it on me?
Yeah, you're the man.
It's on me for the straight white man who is 40.
To draw more men in?
Hey, guys. Hey, bros,
you have the better chance than me.
Let's go watch hockey and watch baseball.
Or like, hey, guys, true crime is for man, too.
What's up with the man and true crime?
I was listening to an older episode from a few weeks ago when Billy did make an insert into a random conversation being like, invite your men. And we're like, Billy. But we're talking about something else. We're like, invite your man to what? And he's like, to listen to the podcast. I'm like, we're not talking about that at all. But thank you for the invite. So maybe we have a few more men.
Here's what I think. I've actually thought about this a lot, actually. Because you know what? Men, and this is a generalization, men watch a lot of sports.
Yeah.
Get them away from the sports, even for a little bit, and be like, you know what? Look at this. Look at this. People are actually fucking dying.
Gorgeous.
Watch it.
Yeah, people aren't interested because they're not. People love that. People are dying. Watch this. They're like, yeah, this is way better than football, Billy. No, it's more about, you got to come at it from a human interest aspect. You can't be like, hey, don't look at football. There's death over here.
You know,
it's
like football murder.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. You think this is life and death?
I'll show you some real death. But I don't think that's the way to magnetize people to us. I think we need to come up with a better sneak attack.
You know what?
I'm going to put this out there right now. I'm putting this out there to our listeners right now.
Challenge your men.
Get your men. Put them in the Facebook group. I will talk to them. Tag me. And we will do this
honestly,
together. We will turn true crime a little bit male.
No, I'm sorry. We will have a master thread on the Facebook group. Add your men and tag your men. And Billy will go one-on-one with each man.
And just talk about bro stuff.
I don't know what
just
that
get
means,
him involved in true crime. You could find a common denominator
men
somewhere.
Men don't care about true crime.
Because they don't have feelings.
Because they don't have fears.
No,
or feelings.
No, because women know so much about the human condition. And men are such fucking
dopes.
Or
because if someone attacked you with a knife, you might still win. Where if someone attacked me or Jack with a knife, we'd surely be dead.
No,
there's
not true.
There's no fear. There's no fear for a
it's
man.
It's not about fear. It's about, I really think
or
it's about
empathy.
The human condition.
No,
it's about that men.
Killed hella women, and you're not scared of being killed by men.
Yeah.
But we are.
All the time. Every waking moment. Let's go to the next caller.
Off we go then.
Hi, I am calling to tell you guys the worst thing I have ever done. So this was probably like 4 or 5 years ago. I was either 20 or 21 and I was dating a guy. And of course I thought we were going to last forever and I loved him so much. We were having problems and I was about to go on vacation to visit family members across the country. I really didn't want to go because I was like, oh my gosh, if I go, we're going to fight and we're going to break up and it's going to be horrible. But I went anyway. I was there for about a week, and the whole time I was there, we were barely talking. I was terrified. I had so much anxiety over him breaking up with me. And by the time I was coming home, I was so excited because he was going to pick me up from the airport. And I had it in my head that if he didn't pick me up from the airport, we were done, and he was going to break up with me, and he didn't love me anymore. And I was flying back. I had a layover at another airport, and my flight was delayed getting into that layover, and I was so scared. I was like, if I miss this flight, I can't get home tonight. What am I going to do? We're going to break up. So I ended up telling the flight attendant that I was getting married, and if I didn't make it home, I was going to miss my wedding. And I didn't know the flight attendant would make such a big deal out of it, but they announced it like on the intercom to the entire plane that I needed to get off first or else I was going to miss my wedding. And everyone started like giving me an applause and saying, congratulations. They hope I make it. And I had no idea it was going to blow up like that and be such a big deal. I felt so bad immediately after. And I made it home. My boyfriend at the time did pick me up from the airport. No, we did not last. So it was all for nothing. I think about it all the time and I cringe myself to sleep thinking about how horrible I am. And all these people think that I was getting married and I needed to cut in front of them so I would make my flight. Yeah, well, that's the worst thing I've ever done. Yeah, thanks for listening.
Oh, I love her.
I'm obsessed with this story.
Honestly, you're so human. I relate to you as a person so much. All your fears that, frankly, sweetheart, are so irrational. But, like, that's how I feel every day. I'm like, if I don't do this one thing, I'm going to never have a career or someone's going to not love me. Like, we can't think like that, but I
you
do
go to
think,
the extremes.
I do, and I feel you.
I just love... I think it's my favorite thing in the world when like a little white lie ends up snowballing out of control. Like that's my favorite thing. Cause then she's like, oh shit, 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 shit. But then she's probably like, honestly, just as concerned at the time for her life and her relationship that she would have been as an adult for their wedding.
Yeah.
100%.
Cause you know how much shit like matters to you when you're younger.
Huge. It feels like, well, emotionally it can be very catastrophic. So,
and here's what you have to do. If that does happen, if you do say that, if it's a little white lie, it doesn't hurt anybody, and then it snowballs, and that's not hurting anybody, roll with it.
She did. It sounds like she did. But here, I'm going to make you feel better. I'm not going to name our flight attendant friend, but we have a flight attendant friend. One of many, by the way, so you can't figure out who it is.
Okay.
We have several. But I will say our flight attendant friend once told us that someone would say like, hey, will you please... put my bag in the overhead bin. And they'd be like, no, I'm sorry, I'm pregnant. And she'd like touch her stomach. And she's like so believable. And she's really good with shit like that. So then like for the rest of the flight, someone would be like, oh my God, she's expecting. And it was like, I just didn't want to lift your fucking bags. And so flight attendants do it too, is the only my only point.
I think my only point is now I'm never going to believe anybody that says anything to cut in line to get off of a flight.
I know people who cut in line in the bathroom will say they're pregnant all the time to like cut a bathroom line at a venue or whatever. They'll be like, I'm pregnant. And then who's going to say no?
You got to say, I'm going to shit my pants. That's the only way that you're getting through.
People also balk for pregnant women.
I think shit my pants is probably... That's the move.
I mean,
I don't want to get in the way of that.
No, because that also affects you.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You don't want to get in the way of that.
Sure.
Well, I love this story. I think that is fantastic. And like, what a good cringy moment to look back on.
You have BLE, big liar energy, and I love it.
Yeah.
And
I hope you carry that on in your
honestly,
life.
Honestly, this is a highlight, not a worse thing. I'm happy for you.
All right. Well, Alexis, are you going to carry us out with like a stanza?
Ooh,
stanza?
I sure am. As we round out every episode of Killing Time, it's time for the Costanza stanza. And this one is titled simply Roast George. Coat the pan with butter and preheat the oven to 400 degrees. Add a dash of shame. Coat the rest with cheese. Add a sprinkle of neuroses, heaping spoon of lies. You can serve George a la carte or with a side of fries.
Oh my God.
Dust it with chili flakes. Roast George causes stomach aches. Hide something in the batter to mimic his deception. Serve it to your friends at a fancy reception. Give them food poisoning and look them in the eye. This is the last meal they'll ever have because all who eat George die.
Ooh.
Dark.
Wow.
Very dark.
Amazing. That's all, folks.
That's all, folks.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.